Welcome to The Last Trump, a radio show on end times prophecy. We encourage you to get your Bibles out and go to the scriptures with us as we look at the biblical truths found within the Bible that are pointing us to the soon coming of Jesus Christ. And now, live from the Revolution Studios on Grand Island, New York, here's your host, Mike Chory.
Welcome tonight to The Last Trump, and we are excited to be with you tonight. We're coming to you live from Revolution Studios in Grand Island, New York, a grand place to live, I might add. And here tonight, we are going to be studying the book of Revelation. We're in the 16th chapter. And if you have your Bibles at home, I would just encourage you to get it out. Open up to Revelation 16 as we're studying the end times Revelation. What an amazing book. And we pray tonight that this will be a blessing to you. And here tonight from Central Pennsylvania to help me break it on down, Kurt Space, my co-host. Kurt, welcome to the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, brother. Good to be here again for another episode of The Last Trump. And right in the middle of Feast of Tabernacles, the final fall feast until we come up on Hanukkah here at the end of the year. So it's that time of year. It's the weather's changing. Oh, it's been a little cold the last few days. I'm not liking it. And it's a wet one now. We got this big nor'easter. So things are exciting.
We have a lot to talk about tonight here on the broadcast. I want to encourage every one of you that our listeners, maybe your regular listeners, new listeners, we have a newsletter the ministry does, and it is a part of how we communicate to all of you that pray for the ministry, that are part of the ministry. And it comes out every month, either in a letter or in a newsletter format, and it will have a lot about our ministry, what God has or is doing, has done, and it'll always have articles in it, resources that you can order. All you have to do is just call the ministry and say, I'd like to go on the mailing list and receive a free monthly newsletter. And tonight, we have operators here that you can call and just call in and say, I want to get on the Joshua Revolution mailing list and get a newsletter each month. The number to call in the greater Buffalo area, 716-229-8000, or for all those north of the border up in Canada. And I did hear Canada, I think your mail orders or mail delivery is on strike. Hopefully that has ended, but I know our ministry was trying to send some stuff up to Canada this week and couldn't do that. But hopefully they'll come back to work. And the number to call if you're in Canada and you want to go on the news, on the mailing list, get a newsletter, 1-888-444-2920. And Kirk, I want to mention to everyone as well that these two broadcasts, The Last Trump and Cross-Eyed Radio, there's a way that you can receive all the past broadcasts. And if you miss one on a Saturday night, how you can get that. Kirk, tell everyone how that's available to them.
Yeah, really, it's take your pick. You know, everybody's got their favorite platforms that they like to listen to podcasts. We would prefer and encourage everybody to download the Joshua Revolution app, which you could go to joshuarevolution.org to the website. It'll link you through there, or you go in the App Store on Google Play or the Android App Store and just search Joshua Revolution. All the radio broadcasts are on there. All the church services are on there from Sunday, Wednesday night. And then if some people are leery about downloading new apps, I get it. But we are also on every major podcasting platform in the world. So if you have Apple Podcasts, if you have Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, Samsung, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, anywhere you could listen to podcasts, if you have a favorite and you're just used to the platform, search The Last Trump, search Cross-Eyed. They're all on there. But as I said, we'd prefer people. We're trying to bring a lot more traffic to the app because there's just all of our content is slowly but surely making its way onto the app as a one-stop shop for everything. So the Joshua Revolution app or any podcasting platform out there.
Yeah, and I want to mention for everybody that our students of the Word, we have a weekly Bible school that meets on Wednesday night. It's called the School of Joshua, SOJ. And we do Bible study from 7 o'clock to 8:30 each and every Wednesday night. You can catch us live on Facebook. You just go to Cross River. I think it's just Facebook, Cross River Tabernacle. We'll bring you right into that. But that also is now being posted, am I right, Kirk, to the app?
Yeah, correct. And it's also on YouTube. So when we go live Sunday or Wednesday night, it's on the Joshua Revolution Facebook and YouTube and the Cross River Facebook. So it's all there. And that's, as we said, that's all making its way onto the app now also, if you miss it.
Amazing, the technology and how we can get the word of God all over the world. People are downloading our radio broadcast. You did a video for the banquet. I wonder if we could post that on the app. And it's just a personal 5-minute really outline of what God's doing through social media with our radio broadcast. Kirk did a great job. He unfortunately couldn't be with us at the banquet, Kirk, because you were a little under the weather. But maybe we can put that so they can kind of see how these broadcasts are being downloaded in Europe, all across America, and other. We've been on every continent, 7 continents in the world, these 2 broadcasts.
Well, yeah, and you know, people might be thinking, like, how can I see that and that makes sense to me? Well, the reality is because in this video, so when you have a podcast or any kind of show, so we use a program called Subsplash to create all of our app stuff, and they give you analytics of how many people downloaded the app, how many people opened it, or you name it. But when you have an RSS feed, which is the distribution platform we use to put The Last Trump on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, etc., they also give you the analytics, but they give you a map. So in that video, I showed the map of the United States and of the whole world. So you could see on the map, there's little orange bubbles all across the United States. It's crazy, literally. It's almost all 50 states that The Last Trump has gone out in. And then all over the world, as you said, the first month we did that, it went to all 7 continents, and it's only growing. I mean, we're pretty popular in Europe. So, you know, the UK and Ireland over there, they love The Last Trump, and, they're continuing to download consistently. And it's amazing too. You know, we haven't done a ton of promotion of the podcasting platforms, so people are finding it on their own. God is taking it all over. And the amazing thing is in the analytics of the podcast, it gives you the percentage of the consumption rate. And what that means is for every download, it will tell you if that podcast episode was played in its entirety, if it was played for 10%, if people shut it off. And the majority of all of our downloads have a 100% consumption rate, which means everybody who's downloading The Last Trump is listening from start to finish. So it's pretty incredible, you know, and I don't know why. You know, God knows, and he's just delivering it to whoever needs it. But maybe it's the title. You know, Trump's a popular name right now, and people just might be searching certain keywords. I don't know. End times, whatever. Whatever's happening, it's working.
Well, it really is. And it's, you know, we give God all the praise. The Lord is doing it, friend. It's the Holy Spirit. We believe the 2 most important messages that you need to hear, your family needs to hear, the whole world, is, of course, the message of the cross, what Jesus did to provide for us eternal life, and how to live a godly life, which is the same way that you were saved through faith in the finished work of the cross. And we study that in detail every Saturday night from 9:30 to 10:30, such as the name Cross-Eyed. We want your eyes on the cross, on Jesus Christ and what he did. And then, of course, me and Brother Kirk, we have been together now, I think, Kirk, going on 3 years.
Yeah.
And this message that he has given us is the end times message, the soon and imminent coming of the Lord for his bride, which is called the rapture of the church, followed by the 7-year tribulation. Then at the end of that 7-year tribulation, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then the millennial reign, the Sabbath rest, the 7th day, the 1,000 years where Jesus will rule and reign from Jerusalem, and then the new heavens and the new earth. Do you realize the Lord is going to renovate the whole earth? He's going to burn it with fire to burn out all of the sin off this earth, and there will be a new earth and then a new heavens. The new Jerusalem that is in heaven right now is coming down. And it will be on the earth. All of this is what we study in detail on The Last Trump. And here's what God is doing, Kirk. And you know this, but I want our listeners to know this. The Lord is so behind this message. And listen, when I first got saved, there were many that were preaching this message that we're preaching. I mean, there was the Tim LaHayes, the Hal Lindsey's, the Jimmy Swaggart's, you know, many names. And they were really preachers. My pastor was preaching end times. But today, due to the apostasy, the falling away, this message is not getting the attention that it should. And the reason is we've got a lot of people, unfortunately, in the pulpit that have never been called to be in the pulpit. Because if the Lord calls you and you are led of the Holy Spirit, you will be preaching the full gospel message. You will be preaching end times as you will be preaching, of course, the cross of Christ. And Kirk, the nations are so hungry for the end times message. What America has been giving other nations is the prosperity gospel. They know very little about the rapture of the church. Some don't know anything. They know very little about Daniel's 70th week. They know very little about the tribulation. And they are now calling our ministry, and I say our ministry, there we have missionaries that work for us, i.e. Elias Gomez and Pam Gomez out of Baton Rouge, Doreen Burritt, and they are calling them saying, will you bring the end times message to our nation? I mean, think about this. Who are we? But the world is so hungry for this message that you listen to each and every Saturday night. And it's God, the Holy Spirit, that is opening up the nations. We, in a few weeks, will be in Nicaragua. We're going to Managua, Nicaragua with this message. We'll be in November. We'll be in Uganda, Africa, ministering to 10 nations, this end times message and the message of the cross. We're going to be in Monterrey, Mexico in the end of March. And now, just found out today, El Salvador is calling us asking, will you come with the end times message? Kirk, this is just phenomenal. God is opening up the nations through radio, through us to come in person, and we must not say no. We've got to take this message to the whole world before the trumpet sounds.
Well, and there's a reason why the nations are hungry for this message specifically. And that reason is because this is where the anointing is.
Yes, right.
And they can sense that. They can tell that the Spirit of God is present behind the soon coming of the Lord, the pre-tribulation rapture, the great tribulation, so on and so forth. This is where the message thrives, right? And what we're seeing in the world, it's so bad. I mean, it is so bad. If I could give you my login credentials for social media to go on and look for a week of what's actually going on in the church and in the country, it would blow your mind. It's so bad. And I think I hear probably at least 50 times a week people saying that the rapture is not a true doctrine. It started in 1830 with John Darby, and it's nonsense. Like, this is the popular belief today, you know, and there's so much proof to discredit that. You know, right. A simple Google search for these people could see that that's just not true. It was talked about 1600s with Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan, the 1200s with John Wycliffe, one of the translators of the English version of the Bible, all the way back to 100 AD with Polycarp and Irenaeus, who were disciples of John the Beloved, John who wrote the book of Revelation. They all taught this message. And you don't hear, or when you hear a message today in the pulpit or online, these YouTube preachers on YouTube, and they're talking about mid-trib and they're talking about post-trib, there is zero anointing on any of it. Hmm. It's just not there. This is why people are hungry for this message of end times, because this message that we preach and teach here on The Last Trump is anointed of the Holy Spirit, and it draws people in and it brings about a sense of urgency. It's the blessed hope, right? There is no hope in telling somebody, well, you have to go through the first half of the tribulation, or you have to go through the whole tribulation. There isn't any hope in that. That doesn't make people run to the altar and repent and pray that, you know, there's no sense of escape, right? Watch ye therefore and pray always that you're accounted worthy to escape all these things that may come to pass. That doesn't apply to mid-trib or post-trib. So it's not a surprise to me that these other nations are hungry for this, because it's just not there. And when they hear something about it, the anointing draws them in, right? And all these nations today, what they're teaching and preaching, as you said, this prosperity gospel, it's all dominionism. And where's it coming from? It's coming from America. Our American church is taking a false message to all of the nations. It's right. Not good. And this is what, I mean, right now, this weekend, there's ecumenism taking place in our state capital, or our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., with Communion America, where we have all different religions, all different modicums of faith coming together at the communion table to take the Lord's Supper. Like, what a dangerous thing that's happening right now.
Well, and, you know, a lot of people don't know what the difference is between dominionism and biblical Christianity. Dominionism basically is the church infiltrating government and taking dominance over not only government, but what they call the seven mountains of influence, from right. media to education to commerce and so forth. And friend, this is not what Jesus preached. He didn't preach to take over the world and dominate it, the laws and all of those things. He did say, pray for our leaders. But the role of the church that he gave us is to preach the gospel to all creation. And we are being bamboozled today. Christianity is being hijacked by the political world. And we must have discernment on this. Our job, your job, if you're a believer out there, is to preach the born-again message to everyone you can before the trumpet sounds. Because, and Kirk, we should read for our listeners Hebrews chapter 11, 14 through 16 tonight. I want them to hear this, because we are not seeking this world as our home. We are seeking the one to come. And in Hebrews 11, 14 through 16, this is what the word of God says. Go ahead, Kirk.
For they who say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city.
There it is. All right. So our citizenship is not in this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. And the Bible says we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, look up Philippians 3:20. I mean, Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you in Luke 17:21. So God wants your heart. He's not looking for you to take over government. And again, we pray for government, pray for our country. But the role of the church is to call people to salvation. And the kingdom of God is of every tribe and every tongue. The Bible says in Revelation 5:9, you have redeemed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. So for those of you that don't understand dominionists or what dominionism is, it's basically a broad term for movements that believe Christians are called to take control of political, cultural, and economic institutions in order to establish God's rule on the earth before Christ returns. And of course, Kirk, they take this. Their core belief comes from Genesis 1:28, where God gave Adam to have dominion over the earth. But they interpret this dominion to mean that we're to rule government, education, media, business, and law. But understand this, what Jesus preached is my kingdom is not of this world. He said, if my kingdom was of this world, my disciples would be fighting. So don't get caught up in this movement called dominionism. It's not what Jesus preached. It's clear in the scriptures, Kirk, and we must be careful not to be deceived by it.
Well, and the reality, the truth of the matter, they didn't pull this doctrine from a misinterpretation of scripture. They went and cherry-picked verses after this was already created to try and confirm it. But how this all started, I'll let the people know, like, there was a man named Lance Wallnau. He's very popular in this. You know, it's called Dominionism. It's called the New Apostolic Reformation, or the NAR. Lance Wallnau is essentially the founder of this, and it's based on him saying that he got a definitive word from God to tell him to conquer the seven mountains of
influence.
Seven mountains of influence. So he's saying it didn't come from the word. He says it came from God, told him specifically, kind of like Joseph Smith with Mormonism, right? He had an angel appear to him and give him the Mormon doctrine. It's no different here with Lance Wallnau. And they went ahead and they said, you know, we're going to create this system where Christians have to take over these seven mountains. And that's the only way the Lord's going to return. And the reality is, these people are so popular. All of Trump's faith cabinet are dominionists. They're part of the NAR. Charlie Kirk was a close friend with Lance Wallnau. He had him on his podcast. They're all big fans of dominionism and conquering government, politics, all of it. And this has been the goal and the motivation. And they're not doing it through preaching the gospel. They're doing it through convincing people to vote conservatively so we can bring back conservative Christian values. That's not going to work. That's law, right? So this is basically, in a nutshell, what dominionism is, and it's running rampant. And this is what the American church has taken to the nations. Like this last week.
This is the apostasy, the falling away. Let me give you, in short, a comparison. Biblical Christianity is about servanthood. It's about conversion, being born again. It's about love. It's about the eternal kingdom. Dominionism is about control, legislation, power, earthly kingdom. Those two cannot coexist without distorting the gospel. Jesus leads by a cross, not a crown of this world. And it's clear in the scriptures that the prophets, the disciples, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly country. It says that they saw themselves as pilgrims, just passing through, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. So don't get caught up in the dominionist movement, because Satan, you know, all he wants you to do is get your mind off of souls, off of reaching them with the gospel, and he's got you. He's distorts true biblical Christianity. And we have seen this coming. We have seen it grow. And the Seven Mountain teaching, which came around 2000 in this NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation, came out of the charismatic circles. I mean, I've been in the meetings with them. I know these people personally, the Lou Engels, the Dutch Sheets, the Bill Johnsons. They are not preaching true biblical Christianity. They are caught up in trying to bring our nation into some Christian, you know, government and to take basically control of that, to dominate that. That is not what Jesus taught. Jesus taught, we are not of this world. We are called out and called to be separate. We are to reach people for Jesus so that they will go and live in the kingdom of God forever and forever. And so, you know, we have preachers that have warned us of this. Men of God, there was a man named Tim Keller. He warned that any effort to turn Christianity into a political project corrupts both the gospel and politics. N.T. Wright says Christians are to anticipate God's kingdom through service and witness, not control. And so be wise, study your Bible. Kirk, I've studied all the missionary journeys of Paul in the book of Acts, in his first missionary journey, his second, his third. He never preached about Christian values or morals. He preached Christ crucified, risen from the dead, and people were getting saved and baptized. They were being born again. Our message, you must be born again, or you shall not inherit. You shall not see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. And that is what we attempt here on radio. And why I believe God's opening up the nations to us is because we are not going there to tickle ears. We're not teaching or preaching a prosperity gospel or a dominionist gospel. We are teaching what Jesus preached, what Paul, James, and John. And that's what we challenge all of you to stand for. And we are to be salt and light, yes. But Christianity is not to try to take over. Christianity is to go win souls. How many souls has this movement reached? How many souls? How many people out there in this political movement are telling the liberal left or the conservative right, you must be born again or you shall not see the kingdom of God? I don't hear any politician saying that. I don't hear Turning Point saying that. In fact, I never heard Charlie Kirk one time lead somebody to Christ and give the sinner's, pray the sinner's prayer with someone and tell them you must be born again. I put it on, and I'll encourage everyone to do this. Go to GPT. GPT, and just ask ChatGPT the question. Did Charlie Kirk ever speak about how to be born again? Did he ever give an opportunity for people to be saved? Did he ever pray the sinner's prayer with anyone in any of those meetings? And you know what ChatGPT will say? There's no record of it. See, the political movement is trying to get your vote. They want a moral majority. You know, remember Jerry Falwell had the moral majority. That didn't work either. That is not the call of the church. Our job is to preach the gospel and give people an opportunity to be born again. What does that mean? A new nature. You're never going to change America from the outside in. The only way a man can be changed, he needs a new nature. He needs the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4 says, we have become all partakers in the church, those that are truly saved. We have become partakers of the divine nature. And when the divine nature came into my life, I didn't want to swear anymore. I didn't want to drink anymore. I understood that abortion was murder. I started to read the Bible and have to change what I believe because now the Spirit of God was convicting me that my morals didn't line up with the morals of the Bible. But who was doing that? The Holy Spirit, who now was living inside of me. Kirk, we must get back to true biblical Christianity. This is our mission.
No, that's the message, and that's just not what we're hearing today. And right before the break here, I just want to say this as a warning to anybody. This NAR Dominionist movement is loaded with a bunch of false prophets, okay? And three of the big ones, you had Kim Clement, Julie Green, and Amanda Grace. They have laundry lists of prophecies they've given, most of which haven't come to pass. They were wrong. And what the Bible says about false prophets in Deuteronomy 18, chapter 20 through 22, he says, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in my name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, you shall not be afraid of him. So God told us how to deal with prophets. If they say something that doesn't come to pass, they're a false prophet. So if you're listening to any of these people, If it doesn't come to pass, you got to chuck it.
Are you excited for the coming of the Lord? This is not our home. And tonight we're just talking to you basically what we see happening in the church today. We've got to come back to true biblical Christianity and get back to the Word of God. Our mission is not political. Our mission is spiritual. And we must preach the born again message. So tonight here on The Last Trump, Kurt Space with me. And Kirk, I want us to go over to Titus chapter 2 tonight. We're going to leave Revelation 2 next week or the following week. And we're just going to, I want to share a few on this theme, a few verses regarding what we're sharing tonight. And as we mentioned before the break, that true biblical Christianity and dominionism is not the same thing. They are two different things. And when mainstream evangelicalism get caught up in this seven mountains to take back religion, take back the family, take back education, take back government, take back media, take back arts and entertainment, take back business, your focus is going to get off of what is most important, winning souls to Jesus. Because in dominionism, the idea is if Christians can control these things, Christ then can return or revival will come. This is dominion language. But again, when we go back to true biblical Christianity, that's not what we hear in the Gospels. That's not what we see in the book of Acts. Dominionists, they shift the hope from Christ's return to human power. They politicize evangelism. And it risks coercing others instead of converting others. And this is very dangerous. Jesus resisted political temptation. In John 18:36, he said to Pontius Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, my disciples would be fighting." So this whole fight to try to pull, you know, America back to God, that is not what Jesus did. He didn't try to go up against Rome or go up against government. No, friend, he was about souls being converted. And this revelation that we're trying to share with you tonight, it's so important that we don't miss what the true calling of the church is. Kirk, in the Azusa Street Revival, all they cared about was nature's being changed from the divine nature controlling people, from the sin nature controlling people, I should say, to the divine nature. They wanted to see people born again. That's where the church, in my opinion, needs to be tonight.
Well, and that's, you know, that's how you measure a revival, right, is by the fruit. You know, and that's what you saw with Azusa Street. You saw hearts changed, lives changed, people repenting of their sin,
right,
preaching against sin, calling out sin, telling people we need to turn from sin, right? And people were getting baptized with the Holy Spirit in droves. People were coming from all over the world to go to Azusa Street, you know, so when you see that fruit, that's how you know, if this revival is of God, you know, and we're not seeing that right now. We're seeing a works-based movement where we have to do something. It's, you know, it's a works-based faith system, and it's putting people under law. And as we know, the strength of sin is the law. So when you bind people to being under law, their sin nature gets spun out of control, right? So things just...
They get angry.
They get angry. They get nuttier and nuttier. And we see it. We're watching it happen. Like our country, it looks like it's crumbling before our eyes. And the church is out there preaching these big meetings and the memorials of Christian values and fight, fight, fight. This isn't the first time we've ever seen this. This was happening in Jesus's day. They were called the Zealots, right? It's the spirit of Barabbas. It's a spirit of fight. And, you know, Caiaphas, the Caiaphas prophecy that you call out in your own book, they had the wrong focus. You know, they thought that they could fight their... That's why they killed Christ, because they didn't believe he was the Messiah. They thought their Messiah was going to be a political savior who was going to come set them free from Rome. It's no different right now what we're seeing. People are looking for a political savior to bring America back to being great again, to be this golden nation in our golden ages ahead. And there is a golden age coming, but it's not until after a 7-year tribulation, starting with a rapture first, and then the second coming of Christ. We'll start the millennial reign. That will be our golden age. But it's not based on what we're going to do. We can't do anything to bring that about. We can't bring anything to tell God he can or can't come when it's ready. That's not how it works. The only thing we are to do is one thing and one thing alone, and that is preach the gospel and pull people out of society and get them ready for the kingdom of God, because we can't change it. It's coming. Only God can. That's it.
You know, the Caiaphas prophecy, I want to read this to our listeners. It's found in John chapter 18, starting in verse 12. It says, "Then the band and the captains and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and they bound him. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people." Caiaphas received a prophecy and he misinterpreted the prophecy. It was speaking of one man was to die for the nation. And it was speaking, God was revealing to him for the sins of the nation and really the whole world. But Caiaphas's mind as the high priest was on his nation instead of the kingdom. And that is why he believed that prophecy was speaking of if they turned over one man, it would appease one Jew, it would appease the Romans, and they would not take away their freedoms. Study the Caiaphas prophecy. They had their eyes on this world, and they did not see that Jesus had come to die for their sins and for the sins of the whole world. And so, what am I trying to say tonight? The most important thing for the church is not to try to change a miracle politically. Our job is to do what Jesus did, what Paul and James and John did, and that is to preach the gospel to all creation, that men might be saved. Kirk, in Titus chapter 2, and if you have a Bible tonight, you can turn there with us. In verse number 11, I'm going to start there. Titus 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you." This is the focus of the church, Kirk, right? Yeah. Here.
Yeah, this is, you know, it's laid out perfectly. This is the Christian life. Right. This is what we're supposed to do. We deny ungodliness and we deny worldly lust. Live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And again, we talked about it earlier, the blessed hope. That's the rapture, the soon coming of the Lord. It doesn't fit. None of this would make sense for a mid-tribulation rapture or a post-tribulation rapture. We are to be watching, waiting, and praying for this moment. This is the only thing left that has to happen prophetically to get into the next age. Everything has been fulfilled. Nothing. There isn't anything that has to be done or fulfilled before the rapture can happen. This is our next event, and this is what we're looking for. It's the blessed hope. We are looking to get out of here. As we said, we're pilgrims passing through this land. This is not our home. We are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. You know, so this is the point, folks. This is the point of this show, of our entire ministry. It's to preach this message and get people born again. It's the born again message. It's a changed heart. I mean, right. Even if we had 10 years left, nothing is going to change in this country without the preaching of the gospel and without the changing of men's hearts. We can't do anything politically unless the hearts of men are changed.
And the Bible tells us in the last days, lawlessness is going to increase and the love of many is going to grow cold.
Right.
The world is going to get worse and worse. God's going to then send the judgment. So you're not going to redeem this world. I'm talking about the system now. All we can do is pray that we can pluck people out of the fire of judgment that's coming. And when you look at these verses, again, Titus 2, verse 11, for the grace of God brings salvation, has appeared to all men. That is the message for our churches, the grace of God. What is the grace of God? What Jesus did at Calvary's cross. And the church is to teach, yes, to those who have received him, to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. And then it says to look to that blessed hope, meaning that's what we're living for. We're living for the kingdom of God when Jesus comes to take us to his kingdom. So you might say tonight, you might say, well, where does government fit into this? Well, keep reading. What does it say? Kirk, if you could read chapter 3, just the very next verse, chapter 3 of Titus 1 through 3.
Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another.
Now, tell me that's not today in the church, this hating one another, condemning the other side because they don't agree with you. The Bible says, speak evil of no man. Look at verse 1, Kirk. It's saying, be subject to principalities and powers, obey magistrates. This refers to civil government.
Right.
And to be no brawlers. How does that fit in with January 6th when the Capitol building was stormed? How does that fit today with what we're seeing of the fighting that's going on, the condemnation, the hatred across the aisle? But the Bible says, be gentle, showing all meekness to just some men, the ones that agree with you. No, showing all meekness unto all men. Kirk, if you could read the notes there from the study Bible.
Verse 3?
Verse 2, actually, where it says, showing all meekness unto all men.
This portrays the inwrought grace of the soul, which can only be brought about in the life of the believer by the Holy Spirit. He does these things strictly on the premise of our faith in Christ and the cross.
All right, so how are we to treat a lost world that doesn't know Jesus? We are to treat them with grace, gentle, showing all meekness. That doesn't mean we're weak. That doesn't mean we don't stand against sin. But we must understand The sinner needs the grace of God. The Bible says in Romans 1, the goodness of God is what leads to repentance. Look at what verse 3 says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. We were just as crazy and lost
right
before Jesus came into our life. Kirk, what was your life like before you found the Lord?
It was chaotic. It was, you know, getting drunk, doing pills, playing heavy metal music. I was tormented demonically, you know, dealing with paranormal demons coming into my room, horrible dreams. Like, my life was a nightmare.
Yeah, and we were lost. I was in the world. I was drinking with my buddies. I was, like, you know, just all messed up in my values. And you weren't going to shake me and try to prove your point that you're smarter than me and your values are better than mine. I would have just got more and more angry. But somebody came to me with the love of God and started to share the mercy and grace of God. Hmm. Look at what it says. Deceived, this is what we once were. Deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice, envy, and hateful. That should never be spoken of in the church. And hating one another. That's what we're seeing in the streets of Chicago and Portland. That's what we're seeing even at the memorial of Charlie Kirk, a time that should bring us all together, right? And what do we see? Our president saying, I can't stand my enemies. Listen, that's because an unconverted heart can't see that what Jesus said, I'm to love my enemies, pray for them. Verse 4, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we had done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. How did he save us? By the washing of the regeneration. That, in effect, is the born-again believer. And the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Bible says pray for those who are in government. Pray for our president. Pray for our leaders that they would what? Get saved. That they would come to the knowledge, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because when Christ comes in, the love of God comes in. And I can't explain it to you, but I can just tell you, you're set free from having hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness. The love of God, even the ones that have hurt you, you will find yourself praying for. And God will put his love in your heart for that one who has spoken against you or treated you in a very, very hateful way. Kirk, this is an incredible passage of scripture right here.
Well, it's no surprise to me, brother, that the Holy Spirit led us here tonight and skipped Revelation, because this third chapter of Titus will preach today, big time. And Paul's reminding us here, as we said, you know, that we're no different than the rest, right? We were in that same right. state. We're no better. We're all on the same equal playing field on sin. We've all been destined to hell from the start by default. And it's Christ repenting, getting born again, that changes that, right? Speak no evil of no man. Be no brawlers, but be gentle. This is the exact opposite of what we're seeing on the TV, in the pulpits. We're having preachers calling the left evil, wicked. We can't stand you, and you shouldn't either. This is the exact opposite of what this entire chapter is talking about. We're not showing the love of Christ. We're not being gentle. We're pushing an entire group of people away that we're trying to win to the Lord. How are we ever going to witness to these people if we can't even show the love of Christ, and we're just calling everybody evil and wicked, and we're fighting in the streets? Charlie Kirk was out there telling people that they're the epitome of evil. You could watch the clips. This isn't what we're called to do, folks. So it's blowing my mind that the Holy Spirit led us here, because this is the exact problem of what we're facing right now.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. The Word of God is clear in these scriptures here. We're either going to follow them or we're not. Look at Titus 3:6. It says, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is Amen. What we're living for, that we would be an heir of salvation according. This is our hope, eternal life. It's not in this world, friend. Don't get caught up in this worldly battle. It says in verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that you affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. This Kirk, we have been brought into this political chaos, and you can see it on social media. You can see it on TV. There is this hatred across the aisle. And I want to encourage you tonight, don't get caught up in that. The Lord has called you, the Bible says, to be an ambassador for him. If you are born again tonight, you have the ministry of reconciliation. Paul said, to the Jew, I became a Jew. To the weak, I became weak. I became all things to all men that I might save some. So we are not a political organization, the church. We are a spiritual lighthouse to draw people to the grace of God through what Christ did at Calvary. And tonight, if you don't know him, you can know him. You can have the mercy and grace of God tonight by simply confessing your sins before him and saying, God, I don't want these things in my life no more. There is a hatred. There is a contention. I am constantly losing my temper. I am caught up in this worldly battle. And tonight I want to come to Jesus and I want to experience the peace of God and I want to have the hope of eternal life. You can have that right now. You can be born again by praying with us and turning from this world's ways and turn to Jesus, the author of our salvation. The hope of God is our anchor. He's coming, and he's coming for those who don't have their eyes on this world, but their eyes are on the kingdom to come. Pray with me tonight, won't you? Pray with us and ask God to come into your life that you might be born again. It's a simple prayer, just simple words. Pray with Kirk and me tonight. Dear God in heaven.
Dear God in heaven.
I come to you in the name of Jesus.
I come to you in the name of Jesus.
And Lord, I want to be born again.
And Lord, I want to be born again.
I confess to you that I have sinned.
I confess to you that I have sinned.
I have fallen short of the glory of God.
I have fallen short of the glory of God.
And tonight I want to turn from my ways.
And tonight I want to turn from my ways.
From my sin.
From my sin.
And I want to turn from religion.
And I want to turn from religion.
And I want to surrender my heart and life to Jesus Christ.
And I want to surrender my heart and life to Jesus Christ.
I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me.
I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me.
That he shed his blood.
That he shed his blood.
So I could be forgiven.
So that I could be forgiven.
And have eternal life.
And have eternal life.
And I believe that God raised him from the dead.
And I believe that God raised him from the dead.
And he's alive.
And he's alive.
And Lord, right now.
And Lord, right now.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I ask you to come into my heart.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
And change it.
And change it.
I receive Jesus Christ.
I receive Jesus Christ
as my personal Lord and Savior.
As my personal Lord and Savior.
Right now.
Right now.
And I thank you, Lord.
And I thank you, Lord.
For coming into my heart.
For coming into my heart.
And by faith.
And by faith.
I say right now.
I say right now.
I'm washed.
I'm washed.
I'm cleansed.
I'm cleansed.
I am born again.
I am born again.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If you prayed with me and Kirk tonight, would you call us tonight to tell us that you made the decision to be born again. You followed John 3:3, where Jesus said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Tonight, if you'll call, I want to send you a copy of the New Testament, the Expositor's New Testament. It's a commentary and the King James Version. All you have to do tonight is call. We'll send it to you postage paid free of charge in the greater Buffalo area, 716-229-8000, up in Canada, 1-888-444-2920. Go to your phones now. Coming up next, stay tuned for Cross-Eyed Radio.
You have been listening to The Last Trump, a radio talk show sponsored by Joshua Revolution. If The Last Trump has been a blessing to you, please let us know by sending a testimony on how the program has helped you. If you would like to support The Last Trump financially, you can send financial gifts to Joshua Revolution, P.O. Box 923, Grand Island, New York, 14072, or go to our website at joshuarevolution.org. We thank you for your help and prayers, and remember to tune in next week at 8:30 p.m. for The Last Trump, a study on end times prophecy.